Business of Happiness Hive, do I have a fascinating conversation ready for you today. It's with author Gavin C. Gavin is a young man who just wrote a book called True Humility, Finding Peace and Balance in Today's Modern Society. And I love this conversation because what we talk about in this interesting interview is the idea of humility and honesty with yourself and the idea of balancing your weaknesses and your strengths and honoring both, all in the light of happiness. You know, Gavin has a really interesting perspective on happiness and how humility plays into it. And I ask him in this conversation, what about people who are so humble and so serving to everyone else in their world that they lose themselves along the way? Because one of the things we talked about is a selfless versus a self-serving perspective or lifestyle. The other thing I love about Gavin is he really talks about how to do it in modern day society. Where are some of the hiccups that hurt us and make it difficult for us to live a life of humility and happiness? So join me, please, this fascinating conversation with this young man who spoke to me at 12:30 a.m. from Singapore and still such a bright light and so capable of bringing this great knowledge to the rest of us. Welcome, Gavin.
Hi, I'm Dr. Taryn McCarthy, business owner, orthodontist, motivational speaker, and mom. After 20 years of striving for success in business, I'm starting the conversation about the business of happiness. True success in life is realized when we achieve inner fulfillment. Join me in the conversation with business leaders and entrepreneurs looking to reignite their passions and redefine success. Welcome to the Business of Happiness podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Business of Happiness podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Taryn McCarthy, and today is going to be a great day because I'm bringing to you an incredible conversation with author Gavin C. Welcome. Welcome, Gavin.
Thank you. Thank you for having me in your show. And I'm really excited to share about my story as well as to engage your listeners and your viewers on my story that I hope to impact and inspire after listening to today's podcast interview.
Perfect. I am so excited to hear your story as well, because you came to me through this book that you have written called True Humility, Finding Peace and Balance in Today's Modern Society. And I can't tell you, just the title itself gives me so much anticipation for the incredible impact you're going to have on the world with this book. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to write this book.
Well, I'm really excited to share that with you. And definitely, I hope that through my story and through my sharing today, that more individuals around the world will be able to benefit from this book that I've written, which really is a story of my life. And let's go back a bit more to what happened in my earlier parts of my life, what transpired into the writing of this book, and what I hope to be able to impact my readers through reading this book. So between the age of 10 and 17, because of my father's work, I ended up attending 7 schools in 7 years in both Singapore and Melbourne. And that was a tremendous and difficult period in my life. Mm-hmm. So I found myself being a constant subject of bullying, racism, ostracism growing up. Mm-hmm. And that's always challenging when you are faced with not only dealing with the circumstances at school, adapting to your different syllabus, your classmates, to different cultures altogether. You're also dealing with your identity. What can I do to find my happiness? When can I ever find stability in my life? What if change were to be a constant? What can you do about that? So I think that was really the story of my life growing up. There's always one challenge, one roadblock stacked after the other. And it came to a point where I was at breaking point at the age of 17 to 18. And I was constantly asking myself, what if this were to persist? What if I'm never going to continue to find the peace and joy that I was hoping to find? But thankfully, at the age of close to 21, in my early 20s, I came across the learnings of humility, and in this case, true humility. And it was through my readings and research that has discovered the truths and depths behind the value of true humility. And it really changed my life. And writing this book was really stepping into today's modern society. I think a lot of individuals ask themselves a question, what should I do to make myself happy? Go into the modern society and trying to navigate the different trends that we find ourselves in, like a YOLO mindset, you only live once mindset, social media dependency, social content dependency, and find himself stuck in a rut of going from a YOLO mindset to sometimes a FOMO mindset, a fear of missing out, and stopping it there saying that I'm never going to find that happiness that I'm looking for, and what should I do? So really, true humility hopefully encourages individuals to step into their identity with their strengths and weaknesses to hopefully find their peace and balance in their life. I hope that has given you a good summary of what my story has brought me into this writing of the book.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the idea of bringing those tools and that knowledge base into modern society, because sometimes we read these incredible texts from some sages and very knowledgeable people that lived many hundreds of years ago, but we don't know how to incorporate them in today's society, as you mentioned.
Exactly, exactly.
And so I honor you for doing that. My question to you is, what is the secret? What is the secret? What does humility, true humility, mean? What does that mean to you?
I love your question because it is a topic that has not only been challenging to tackle in society, but I think in large parts, even in where I'm living at, it's a difficult topic to take on because in general, I think humility always comes across as a topic of value that I need to practice on my own in the quiet space where nobody knows that I'm practicing this value or exemplifying these traits and characteristics in society, in the workplace, or in school. As a result of that, the beautiful parts about true humility gets hidden and trapped in academic research, books, papers, and we never get to see this practice in a large scale or in a wider ecosystem.
Yeah. Very philosophical, not very practical. Exactly. Yes. Sorry to interrupt.
No problem. And for me, that came from a place where I started to take a step back and ask myself a question. If humility and what I'm reading is really so beautiful, and this truth is not only resonating within my life, but is truly transforming my life, what can I do to be able to translate the same understanding into the lives of hopefully more readers all around the world to be able to understand, practice, and honor a humility mindset and practice in your life? So that's really the centerpiece of why I wrote this book, because it was really to share about what humility really can be done on a practical level for individuals to really find the true peace and balance that they're looking for. So in my definition, you're going to ask something?
No, go ahead. Give me your definition, please.
Yes, I'd love to. So true humility, in my definition, is really starting from a place of looking yourself in the mirror every day. And you ask yourself a simple question. Do you see your strengths and your weaknesses on an equal basis? So I define it as one's 50% strengths and one's 50% weakness. So realize that both your strengths and weaknesses are good enough to start your day, go through the day, and end the day. So it's always coming to that point of reflection consistently throughout the day. Say, for example, you were to go through or face with a negative circumstance. Do you have that strength within yourself to say that I have the resilience, I have the courage to overcome the challenging times that's ahead of me today and for maybe in a few days coming up? And also at the same time, when you're adding value, are you constantly keeping to your tippy toes that you have areas of improvement as well? And this is what keeps you on the constant journey to want to improve, to grow, and to be better as a person. So that's really, in a nutshell, what true humility, in my definition, means.
I like that because I think sometimes when we hear the word humility, we jump straight to self-defeating, you know, the ideas of where I'm lacking, pointing out the times when I'm most vulnerable and be acknowledging that, but you're also introducing the idea of empowerment and confidence building as a part of humility. Can you speak exactly. more to that, where the power comes from humility?
Yes, I think where I really came from in terms of finding that resonance with this definition of what true humility is really looking yourself, truly looking at yourself, and you look into both your past and your present and how that could shape your future. So I talk a lot about time horizon charts in my book about how your past habits in a particular value can also shape the person that you are in the present and the future. So for example, how does true humility look like in the past times the number of times that you're able to harness this practice in an everyday basis in the present and in the future that could really shape the way that you think and behave. So for example, how are you responding to the past habits of negativity from a true humility basis? So it's using where you're starting now, going back to the past to say, what lessons can I learn from the past to be applied in today and in the future? And that really brings resonance because on average, if we think about it on a logical basis, we all have difficulties both in our past and in our present. But how do we find that peace within ourselves to say that on average, the amount of good times and our bad times looks on average over a lifespan that we have gone through to be equated. And once you have that understanding that the polar opposites comes together nicely and fits in together nicely, that's where true humility becomes really empowering for individuals to say that I now have this courage to step forth into my today because I know that I can get through these tough times because it's not going to always look like a binary one or zero. It's always going to be a case of progression. Sometimes not going to be smooth, but some days is going to be okay. On average, I'm at peace with that. So that's the deep sense of balance that I found through the value of true humility. And when I found that truth, I wanted to share with so many people as much as I can in every conversation. And I think you can feel that deep resonance that I have and conviction behind the value of true humility.
So give us an example of when you did that exercise for yourself, when you looked back at your past and your present and noticed those habit patterns. And what was the awareness? What was a specific example of awareness that you came to that you could learn from and grow from?
Yes, very good question. And in fact, I have been bringing up this example in many of my talks at schools recently, and I'll share that with your audience and in today's session. So what happened was one time I recall in high school, and this was when I was 13, and I saw a boy that was twice my size running towards me at full speed. And as he was about to reach me, I was knocked over another boy, and the impact was so hard that I flipped 180 degrees. And I landed on my right wrist. And right in the moment, I knew that I had fractured my wrist because I simply could not feel anything. And I recall looking up to the sky. I know it sounds a bit melodramatic, but I literally looked up to the sky and I asked myself, why is this always happening to me? And I think that really sums up that false humility, the witness-focused mindset person that I was embracing at the time. It was always about the worst side of myself. I'm never going to be good enough. I'm never going to be cool enough to make friends at school. Now, looking back into that time of my life, do I look back in the sense that I am still that person that was in the past? I'm still looking back on a flashback moment, reflecting back on the person that I was in the past. I think more often than not, to find that cathartic process, to find healing in the past challenges that you've gone through, is to not only make peace with the circumstances, but it's not to run away from the negative circumstances that we find ourselves in the past or in the present or maybe even in the future. I think what really helped me was when I look back, it's not about locking that difficult time in a box and chucking that out of the window. Mm-hmm. It's about dealing with it head on to say that the person that I am in the past is still the person I am today, but how can I use that story to encourage someone to find inspiration and purpose in persevering through difficult times. So instead of looking back to say that, I don't like this moment, I don't like this past, I look back on a positive note and I ask myself the question, how can my story be used to inspire someone today? Perhaps if I know someone in the crowd today that's attending my talk has been facing something similar, I find that that always helps to relate to the person. So I found many positives, even in difficult times, because I've came to a place of I have strengths and I have weaknesses, and both are equally important for me to find my identity in myself, as well as to find my balance within who I am and who I want to be today and moving forward.
So help us understand, you had that thought process that you identified, why is this always happening to me?
Yes.
And what did the new perspective say?
Yes. So I think often enough, what happens in our everyday life is that we wake up in the morning and we try to tell ourselves almost like a mental positive pep talk. I can do it. I will get through everything. But what happens is when something negative hits us, and this is bound to happen on an everyday basis, we will come through challenges, we'll come through changes. And what happens is when we go from I can do it to I'm not good enough, I'll never be able to overcome this circumstance, and you feel like it's a vicious cycle. And that's when I realized that when you're able to take a step back to answer the question of what is your purpose and ambition, as well as your goals that you're setting for the day? Is it to become the best, but only to find yourself slipping to a worst person mindset? Or is it to keep it open-ended on a comparative mindset? I want to be a better person today. If positive emotions helps me to get towards that, that's great. But importantly, it's not only to wake up in the morning to say, I can do it. I can do it has to be backed by something deeper. And what I found to be really helpful is to say that I can do it because I have the humility to rely and count on my strengths and my weaknesses, my areas of improvement. From that place, it almost removes that veil or blind spot that you probably had in the past because you were trying to be the best, but running away from difficult times or your areas of weaknesses that you dare not face up to. Mm. So that's what I found to be really helpful, to get away from the statement and to make peace with the journey and process of life.
If you're listening to this podcast, chances are you didn't get into business to be miserable. The problem is that people feel that if their business gets busier, if they start becoming more successful, that happiness will eventually set in. But it can actually get worse. This is why I created the Business of Happiness Prosperity Coaching. In this one-on-one coaching, we look at how to redefine success on your terms and refind the joy and the passion in your dream. Visit me at thebizofhappiness.com and become the happiest business owner you know. What do you think are our greatest obstacles to having that perspective in modern day society? What do you think challenges us the most in modern day society to be able to maintain that perspective?
Yes. I love this question because I'm always constantly thinking about modern trends, modern thinking, and how that can be constantly evolving at a rapid speed. I think at where we're at right now, if we're listening to this podcast in 2021, where we're sitting at, I think it really stems itself in a self-focused endeavor perspective that's always robbing us away from finding joy and peace at a pace that we're comfortable with. So almost feels like we're constantly chasing the next trend that's coming up in society. Mm-hmm. I think just in 2021, I think if I were to sum up the top trends that many individuals are familiar with, but struggling to find their peace and happiness within these domain fields are, first, the YOLO mindset, you only live once, and how that brings up the second trend, which is social media dependency. How if, for example, you were to take your mobile device away from someone today, how they would feel that sense of loss, like, what should I do with my time? Who am I? What am I without my device? And out of the sudden, you start to bring up the negative side effects of today's modern trends, which sits itself in two areas, FOMO, a fear of missing out, and the second, which is fairly new trend called FOLO, which stands for a fear of living offline. So in general,
I haven't heard that one yet, Gavin. Yeah, yes. FOMO, fear of living offline. Interesting.
Yes. So we start to see that YOLO tends to lead individuals towards a FOMO or FOGO mindset, and how that builds within ourselves that when I'm looking for my peace and joy, I need to go into these spaces of categories that many people are looking to as well. But when I get into that and I don't find my peace and joy, what should I do? And it almost feels like a dead end. It almost feels like I need to go back into this, but this time I would amplify that by 10 times more. So if I need to find my peace and joy, maybe it's about watching more Netflix shows or more Disney Plus shows. Maybe I'll find some entertainment and joy from what I'm doing in these trends. But if it fails to recognize that in today's modern society, and because of as well the pandemic times that we live in, individuals are slowly moving towards more self-focus, and they are unable to break free from the silo effect that they have also built within themselves in their lives.
What would you say to, you know, one of the characteristics of many of my audience members are men and women in the healthcare professions, parents as well, who have lived their whole lives sacrificing of themselves for other people and losing themselves in the process. And so when you speak about, a self-focused mindset or constant a self-centered way of living, many of my audience members feel like, oh my gosh, I give and give all day. I give to my patients, I give to my children, I give to my parents, and yet I'm still feeling unhappy. How do you reconcile that perspective as well? Somebody who feels like they're constantly giving and serving and in some way depleting of their own happiness in the meantime?
That's a really important question because it touches on many moving parts. But if I were to break those pieces down at its crux, I think the root, it starts first with realizing that we all have strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And let me explain a bit more from this perspective. So I think many of the times we're always trying, even in the works that healthcare workers are in, it's about giving. It's about giving the best to the people around them at work, in the workplace. But often enough, we fail to also recognize that in putting your best foot forward in caring for someone, we're also not looking into our areas of weaknesses, our areas of lack as well. So we need to recognize as well at some points in our life, even in giving to others, that we have time and energy that is finite. It's not going to be infinite. So at some point of time, it's important to take a step back, find space within yourself to recuperate. So there's an element of self-care here that's so important because we look at ourselves from a bird's eye perspective and we assess ourselves to say that I have this amount of time that I need to recharge and it's important for me. And why that's important is because you recognize and realize that you have these gaps that you need to fill up your cup. So in order for you to be full in serving and giving your best, you need to balance and figure the time that you need to be able to recharge and recuperate. So I think this is really important. And I do that for myself as well in coming to that perspective, even as I'm on the journey of inspiring people through the value of humility. There are times when I tell myself that I need to take this break, an hour or two to recharge myself, maybe a nice cup of warm coffee. That could kickstart your day. But it's so important that you come to that balanced attitude. And in order to do that, you need to be consciously aware of where you're at in your day. And across the week, how are you best using your time and energy, which can deplete really fast if you're not careful. So this is a quick strategy and tip that I found to be hopefully helpful for your audience in this space in the healthcare.
I love that. And it also brings up another aspect I'd love your perspective on. And that is honesty, humility, and honesty with yourself about your intentions of your actions. And I think sometimes that can get cloudy as well. We lose sight of the fact that sometimes we think we're doing something for someone else, but really it's serving a very self-centered purpose and not necessarily a selfless purpose. And I just was wondering your perspective on that as well. You know, living living your life thinking that you're doing so much for other people, but really, what are your deeper intentions? And is it perhaps a mask or a veil or an excuse for a more self-centered need that needs fulfilling?
Well, it could be a perfect title for hopefully a future title.
There you go.
Yes. You touch on a really important part, because genuine humility, true humility in this case, there are so many interlinked topics related to that. So honesty and humility comes together hand in hand, and it's really interconnected, because if you're not honest with yourself, how exactly are you responding to your actions and behaviors for others as well as for yourself? And it has been constant conversation, both in an internal monologue, as well as the way that you're dealing and speaking with others. Mm-hmm. So the best gauge of what true humility looks like is often the people closest to yourself. So if people are feeling an energy, a rub off of positive emotions when they're speaking with you, engaging with you, that's probably a good sign that your service has left an impact on their lives. And that's a good gauge for your assessment of how your attitude and your use and practice of your sense of humility is really for others. So I think one example that I can give you is coming from a perspective when you're in an everyday basis, that when you're giving to others, or if you're thinking about others-centered activities and practices, a lot of times it comes out from a giving of unconditional love. So it has to come from a place of unconditional giving. So you're not expecting something in return. Right. When you give help, you don't need anything back from the person, not because you're not giving the person an opportunity to practice his or her true humility, but it simply starts from that, because you realize that in the end of the day, if you have these amount of strengths that you're able to add value and bless others, that's great. But at the same time, others are also giving you an opportunity to be able to, for you to grow in your areas of improvement and, so to speak, your weaknesses. So it's not necessarily a trade-off. It's important that we see that we live in a nucleus where others are equally important for us to be the best version of who we can be.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And looking at it as a journey and an opportunity to learn from, instead of, as you mentioned, right or wrong or good or bad. Yeah,
exactly. And so it's such a nice process to step into, realizing that we will go through the ups and downs. But the times that you start to average them out, you will start to realize that life is as consistent as they should be. But if you start to see them as, one day I'm super positive, next day I'm feeling really negative, that's probably when you start to feel the pull and push of the polar opposites. But the way that I see it is that every single day I'm going one step in the process of becoming a better person. Positive emotions and negative emotions are equally important for me to get towards that journey. So that's how I see it and how I rationalize my perspective.
Very cool. So I know that one of your other goals is to bring this to younger generations, to bring these tools to younger generations. How do you teach this to school-age children?
Yes, I think in today's modern society, especially in high schools and for young children, they're struggling in a variety and myriad number of ways. And I think it's a bit different because they were born in an era of technology. And I think naturally, the trends that we are discussing as adults, as young adults, are trends that are plaguing some of the young minds at school. Yeah. So in recent weeks, when I'm doing talks at schools, in high schools, and really engaging with the students, some of the students have front up to share with me that, Gavin, I am experiencing FOMO and FOLO, and I don't know what to do. And it's frustrating me. And a lot of that comes back from that constant pressure that they need to be the best. They need to be top of the class. They need to fulfill the expectations that they put in on themselves and in society. And I think that brings individuals at schools, especially students, with the lack of activities and influences, especially during this pandemic times, the natural course of action is to go home, lie on a bed, switch on your phone that you're given,
escape.
And escape. And it almost pushes them towards This is the course of action and route that I'm given. And if I'm not finding my joy and peace from this source, where else can, or who else can I turn to?
Yeah.
And this brings up many different types of negative effects as well. And we probably will not go into that, but I think the main focus here is that when I'm speaking with youths, it's really to share with them that don't feel like life is never going to give you the peace and joy that you are not having today. Mm-hmm. How about taking yourself at where you're at right now and look back on how you have came to where you are today, a point of gratitude, but from humbleness that brings out that sense of gratitude. So a lot of that comes back to the simple everyday things that they probably do not reflect on. So let's take our male, for example. Do you realize that amount of hands and interconnected webs that made this simple meal that you enjoy every day? Now, in today's context, do you realize that who you are today have come through years of different knowledge that you've gained, the people that you've met, your mentors at school, your friends that have helped you along? Now, who you are and who you can be is already in your life. Now you have the tools and ability to push forward to become a better person. Now, who's here with me to practice moving forward in an everyday basis with true humility? So this is my message when I'm sharing with youths and students at school. It's really to inspire them rather than bringing them to the focus of who they don't want to be. Instead, let's focus on who they can be, the opportunities to grow, the positive future that they have,
and oh, I love
helping
that.
Them and equipping them.
Exactly. So cool. I really love that. I love that way that you guide the youth through that understanding. And one of the things that's striking me most having this conversation with you is really that empowerment piece and just how we assume that humility, once again, as I mentioned earlier, is an kind of an acknowledgement of weakness, but really yes. What it is an enormous source of empowerment as well. Yeah,
exactly. And I think it's about making it personal. So what does true humility mean to you? Yeah. I ask this question a lot during my talks, especially with youth. What does true humility mean to you? And I think because of the nature of where we're at in modern society, it's about doing this task A, task B, moving on to the next thing. And by the end of the day, it's about just easing off, lying in bed and not thinking, wanting to think about anything. But because of that, we're lacking opportunities to self-reflect. Yeah. And self-reflection is so important, especially in the busyness of life. It's important to take that 5 to 10 minutes, even on the bus, on the way to work or school, it's important to take that 5 to 10 minutes to reflect back, things that you want to work towards, and what are some positive goals that you can aspire to work towards for the week. So this is an encouragement that I hope to share with your viewers and listeners today.
Yeah, an easy practice, a nice easy practice. Yeah,
exactly.
So Gavin, tell me, what is your superpower? What are you really good at?
Well, I would say that out of the many things that I have done in my life, I would say that writing and engaging individuals in the topics that I'm really passionate about really gets me. And it gets me up in the day because I know there's something that I can do with my gifts and abilities to help someone along today, maybe put in a short strategy or tip to push someone towards the right direction. And that really puts me on that raw adrenaline rush, the energy that surges from within. And that can never be replaced by anything, not even coffee.
That's a big one. That's cool.
Yes.
That's a great superpower. What would you say your definition of happiness is, Gavin?
Wow. I think that is a very difficult question, but if I were to put it down simply, it's about keeping things simple, living a minimalist mindset. So meaning to say that the things that you have today, I'm already at peace with that. If I'm adding one drop in the ocean to help someone, that's already an additional expectation that I didn't have before I started the day. And that pushes me to find that little bits of energy and happiness throughout my day. And I think that's really the small things that's adding up. It's more of these small victories that happens in my day that I always look up for. And for me, that's what happiness is and define in my perspective.
So cool. I love that perspective. That's a beautiful way of looking at it. Really great.
I know
that all my listeners are going to be just chomping at the bit to get a hold of this book, because I know I am. I cannot wait to dive into it. So we'll leave a link in the show notes for Gavin's book, True Humility, Finding Peace in Society in Today's Peace and Balance in Today's Modern Society. And other than that, I know you have a fabulous website. I was checking out Soil of Humility. And could you please let my audience know, if anyone's driving right now, how they can find you online, on social media, and learn more about these practices?
Yes, you can check me out. Follow my channels on all the social media channels that I'm at, which is mainly Facebook and Instagram. So on Facebook, if you type in at Soy of Humility, you will be able to find my channel. And on Instagram, you can find me at The True Gavin. So that's the main channels that you'll be able to find, hopefully, inspirational contents that will be able to encourage you towards finding a happier and balanced self.
Wonderful. And as we leave you here today, I'd love you to leave with us one sentiment of impact on how we can find true humility in our lives.
I think my favorite quote is, be the change you want to see in this world, but let's embed one element of true humility. So let's make it more personal. Be the change of true humility that you want to see in your world. So making it personal, it can really change and hopefully shape your everyday perspective. And for me, true humility, again, is defined as one's 50% strength and one's 50% weakness. So when you can see that change constantly shaping, molding, and maybe even recalibrating, that's the change that you want to see in this world. The people around you will experience that positive, hopefully, positive change as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today, Gavin. It's been an absolute pleasure getting to know you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Taryn. And it's such a pleasure to be on your show. And I hope that I've shared bits and pieces of inspirational contents that can hopefully impact and inspire your viewers to be taking away positive attitudes and actions for today and for many days ahead.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Business of Happiness podcast. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. And if you know of a colleague who could benefit from this perspective, empower their day and share this episode with them. Or check out more episodes on thebizofhappiness.com. I look forward to discussing happiness in business and in life with you further again next episode. And until then, remember, today is going to be a great day.